extended a tentacle to explore a nearby sea cucumber, its delicate touch a testament to the creature's intelligence and dexterity. Despite her irritation with her partner, she turned excitedly to point out the scene to Ben. "Where was he?" She signaled him on the electronic device. Nothing. He wasn't showing up on the receiver, which meant his equipment had malfunctioned, or he'd decided to turn it off. She swam a few feet in the direction she'd last seen him before she'd been distracted by the octopuses. Staying calm so as not to deplete her oxygen, she immediately implemented her training. She performed a methodical 360-degree scan of the area, careful to keep within viewing distance of the consortium of octopuses, then scanned again. No Ben. What part of the buddy system had the man not understood? In diving, communication was key. You always stayed within 6 to 10 feet of your diving buddy and never surfaced without telling someone. That's probably what he'd done, she told herself. Most likely, he'd still been upset about the gear and had left for the surface in a huff. As she searched, she tried to set aside the fears that Ben was in real trouble. Given what an arrogant jerk he'd been about the equipment, part of her wished he were. Not really, of course, her mother often told her, strive to be more like Saint Rita. That's what her mother had always done with her abusive father. But last time her father had beat Carla, instead of invoking the saint of lost causes and difficult marriages as her mother recommended, she'd run away. Having grown up exploring the Belize Barrier Reef, she couldn't remember a time she didn't long to escape her father's wrath for the ocean. So she'd escaped to Mexico, then moved to the U.S. on a tourist visa and eventually settled on Whidbey Island, where her diving expertise was valued by locals and tourists alike. Whether or not Ben was a lost cause wasn't the only thing on her mind. Diving was her livelihood. It was a dangerous hobby, a dangerous passion. And as one of the most respected guides on Whidbey Island, she took her reputation and her gear seriously. It was her duty to find this guy. She continued the search, ascending 10 feet. And scanning another 360 in all directions. No bubbles, no Ben. She could feel herself using more oxygen than she should, despite her efforts to stay calm. And then the water around her began to stir, a subtle shift in the current signaling the end of the slack tide. The calm waters would soon be gone. She glanced at her dive computer. The oxygen level in her tank was approaching the reserve mark. She was using too much oxygen. Time to surface. Carla continued her slow ascent, pausing for safety stops and watching the colorful undersea world disappear, still scanning for signs of life. The environment was surreal, with rocky formations jutting out like ancient monoliths, their crevices adorned with vibrant anemones. The kelp forest above cast dappled shadows, creating an almost hypnotic dance of light and dark. Pausing about 15 feet below the surface, her eye caught a play of light filtering through the water. Then she saw it. A shape, vaguely human, lying against a rocky outcrop. She studied it, the swaying kelp letting odd patterns of light and shadow play with the form and her mind. For some reason, it made her think of her father. Maybe she wished it were her father, left lifeless and subject to the whims of the tides. Ben! She swam fiercely against the current, and gradually, the shape came into focus. A wrinkled face eerily distorted by the water. Carla's breath hitched in her regulator. Fish had nibbled away at its features, leaving it hauntingly skeletal. But from what she could tell, it was certainly not Ben. The man was at least as old as her father would be now, possibly much older. Fear gripped her as she struggled to process the horrific sight. With the change in tide and her low oxygen, she knew she would be struggling to reach the surface, even without dragging this lifeless body along with her. She had to leave it. She fought the rising panic, her professional instincts urging her to remain calm. But the terror was overwhelming. She turned to swim away, accidentally flicking one of the body's stray limbs with a fin. Giving a final, terrified glance at the lifeless form over her shoulder, Carla let the tide pull her away from the corpse,